Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Gentlemen, welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets. Now here are your hosts, Tim McMaster and Connor Hughes. Listen safely.
Can't wait!
With the second pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
And with those words from the commissioner, Roger Goodell, the anticipation, the wait for months, it's all over. Zach Wilson, officially a Jet, plus a trade. What a first round of the NFL draft for Jets fans. Welcome into the Can't Wait podcast. The round one live stream starting at just a hair after 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Tim McMaster here, along with the Athletics Jets reporter Connor Hughes and our great producer Marissa Morris, who may be producing two podcasts at the same time right now.
So Is that coffee you're drinking?
Coffee.
Drinking coffee. Hopefully you're staying up late, but if you are catching this in the morning, well, you're a lot smarter than we are. We appreciate everyone, though, tuning in. Please subscribe to the show if you haven't on YouTube or on Apple, wherever you listen. Connor, let's get right into it. We'll start with number two, then we'll move on to the trade, and we'll also talk about what's left for number 34 tomorrow, because there's a lot left. But it all starts with Zach Wilson. There was no drama here, but it was still fun to watch. And because Trevor Lawrence was actually not there in Cleveland and was, you know, down in South Carolina, it was cool because Zach Wilson was the first player to take the stage tonight in Cleveland. And he did a nice job, I thought. He reached down, gave high fives to Jet, low fives to Jets fans on the way in. Had the look of a number two overall pick, and it's all smiles for the Jets.
Yeah, and I think that was cool. That moment was cool, right? And that was actually the lead that I wrote to the column, which should be up pretty soon on The Athletic. I think it's been filed, it's being edited, and then it'll be put up. But you think about what Jet fans have been through for the last 10 years. You know, you think about the turmoil, you think about the suffering, you think about the not dysfunction, but just the kind of depression almost that's kind of hung around this fan base for so long that it's almost felt like a plague. That, you know, it's almost like Jet fans don't necessarily want hope anymore. You know, they don't want to be sold this promise. They don't want to be sold this dream. They want proof. You know, they want concrete evidence that the Jets are actually in a position to turn this around. Because when you've been absent the playoffs for 10 years, when you've been struggling at to the level that they have, it's enough with the hope, enough with the please make this work, enough, oh, this is the guy, no, this is the guy, no, this is the guy, enough of all that. Give this team some evidence that it's actually about to turn around. And that's why I honestly felt like this draft felt a little bit different. It didn't necessarily feel like a team that just drafted their franchise quarterback. It didn't necessarily feel like a team that was really, truly set to head in the right direction. At least it didn't feel that way until Joe traded up to number 14 and took Elijah Vera Tucker. Because when he did that, when he made that move up, I think that kind of signaled that this is a guy who's doing things differently. You know, we've talked, Tim, so much over the last few weeks about how the Jets are different now, right? Like the Jets are no longer the team that Mike Maccagnan had or the team that Adam Gase ran or any of that stuff. That wasn't what this was. This was the new Jets. Joe Douglas was doing things differently. But it was hard to really believe that or see that until I think it was that Vera Tucker pick. Because, you know, there have been franchise quarterbacks that have come in here, presumed franchise quarterbacks, right? I mean, there was Christian Hackenberg, and there was Geno Smith, and then there was Sam Darnold, and all those guys, you know, they failed. They never were the franchise quarterback. And now Zach Wilson was the next guy. And you wanted to believe that the Jets were going to be different with him, and they were going to be different with him because they were going to do things differently than they did with Sam, which was surrounding him with talent. And while the Jets did draft Mekhi Becton first round last year, Denzel Mims first round last year, you still wanted to see more, that Joe was really going to go out of his way to surround his new young quarterback with talent. And when he went and traded and wasn't as aggressive as he was to move up to get Elijah Vera Tucker, a guy who's going to start next to Mekhi Becton week one, I think you finally saw the change coming. And it's, there's still work to be done. There's still a lot that needs to be done, a lot that needs to change. I mean, you're not going to erase the 5 years of Mike Maccagnan's ineptitude with one draft last year, basically two free agencies and two draft picks. It's not going to happen. But I think finally there is evidence and finally there is proof that the Jets are doing things different, that the Jets are different. And maybe, just maybe, this drought of dysfunction that has drowned this team forever, I think it might be coming to an end.
I think the one thing, right, that is going to take some time, and night one always looks great, right? Zach Wilson looked great. Sam Darnold looked great a few years ago. This was another draft loaded with quarterbacks. You have, you know, Trevor Lawrence, obviously a one, but then you're also going to have these other three quarterbacks, right? Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, that went after Zach Wilson. And we know Jets fans are going to keep an eye on those three guys, especially that guy who went 15 to New England just because he's going to be with the Patriots. But there's going to be those comparisons. So hopefully Zach Wilson is the guy, and he's the guy that's going to be the face that helps turn this around, because he's going to be properly protected and the team is going to be built well around him. But I feel like there's when you're part of a draft class like this, right? And you can even go all the way right back. Ken O'Brien was part of one of these draft classes as well. There's always going to be those comparisons. And I think that's going to make this fun, just for all these quarterbacks that were involved and seeing how they all develop. But Zach Wilson's going to be one of the ones that gets thrown right into the fire, right? I mean, there's really no doubt about that. Trey Lance is probably not going to play next year, right? In San Francisco, he'll probably sit a year. I would think Mac Jones is going to sit a while behind Cam Newton. There's a chance Justin Fields doesn't start right away, you know, with the moves the Bears made in the offseason. But Lawrence and Wilson, I think week one, are going to be there, and it's going to be so much fun to watch this next year, I think.
Yeah, and look, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, we'll know. And I mean, how many, like, the teams that would have rather have had Josh Allen over Darnold and all that stuff, Mayfield even. I mean, I'm sure the Browns would. I know they've had some success, but I'm sure they would take Josh Allen right now. I mean, you never really know, but I don't necessarily think, obviously, like I said, you know, if Fields turns into be a Hall of Fame player and Zach Wilson washes out of the league in 5 or 10 years, or washes out of the league in a couple of years, obviously it's going to be, oh, the Jets made the mistake. And I'm probably, Joe Douglas is going to be looking for a new job. But when you look at why the Jets picked Wilson, when you look at why he was the one that they chose over Fields, over Lance, Jones, Mac Jones, who was never even considered by the Jets, I think that you can't help but say that Joe made the right decision and Joe made the right move. And the reason why I say that is that the Jets have this scheme that they're going to run, right? The scheme that Robert Saleh said was, quote unquote, you know, the best scheme in the world and the best offense in the world. And what this scheme wants from a quarterback, and we've been over this, Tim, is that it wants a quarterback that can make throws on the run, a quarterback that can operate outside the pocket, a quarterback that is deadly accurate, a quarterback that can play off of play action, and a quarterback, though, that while the offense is going to be predicated on running the ball and play action passing, when the run game isn't there and thus the play action pass isn't working, a quarterback that can stand tall in the pocket, deliver the ball down the field, and attack a defense on that second level. And that is the Zach Wilson scouting report. I mean, this wasn't only about Zach Wilson being the second best quarterback in this draft. This wasn't about the Jets falling in love with him at their pro day or at his pro day, like Joe Douglas said he did today. It wasn't about any of that. This was about a quarterback that is a perfect scheme fit, that has a ton of upside, that is clearly a jolt of energy, like you saw when he's slapping hands and some of the quotes that he's made, you know, when he said, you know, he can't wait to win for the Jets. He mentioned Super Bowls when he was interviewed by NFL Network right after. This is about a guy that was the perfect player for the Jets right now, and the Jets jumped at the opportunity to get him. He's going to be under center, and what you have is a guy that has more upside than Sam Darnold, more energy than Sam Darnold, more physical talent than Sam Darnold, and is a guy that is going to step in probably from week one and hopefully start this complete transition over. And you know, we talk about getting away from the Mike Maccagnan era, the John Idzik era, the really making a change here, and I think we're finally getting there, because you look at this Jets roster now, there aren't many Mike Maccagnan fingerprints over all over it anymore. I mean, this is Joe Douglas's team. You know, it's Joe Douglas's handpicked coach. It's Joe Douglas's handpicked quarterback. And it's now going to be Joe Douglas's draft picks that are around Joe Douglas's handpicked quarterback. And it's going to be fun to watch. And the Jets trust and believe and love Joe Douglas. They think he's the right guy for the job. Well, now we're going to find out. And I think it's a good day. And I know, Pete, I'm kind of going on a little rant. My head's spinning. I'm going like a million miles an hour. I can't even remember how many things I've written and tweeted. Like, my head's spinning like crazy. But when it comes to like the quarterbacks, it was always just going to be Zach Wilson. It was going to be Trevor Lawrence. But when Trevor Lawrence was obviously no longer an option because Jets weren't going to finish with the number one pick, it was Zach Wilson or nothing. And Justin Fields might turn into a hell of a quarterback for the Bears. And Mac Jones might be a talented guy for the Patriots. And Trey Lance might be the right answer for the 49ers. But for the Jets right now and the type of player the Jets wanted right now, like we said about Robert Saleh, maybe there were better coaches out there, but Saleh was the right guy for the Jets right now. Zach Wilson is the right quarterback for the Jets right now.
So you're saying the Maccagnan new hashtag is going to die a slow death. That's very
hopefully
sad. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to this trade. So the trade is they gave up number 23, obviously. It's number 66, number 86. They got 14. They also get number 143. And they go and they get exactly what we've talked about on this podcast, what they needed. Not an edge rusher with this pick and the second first round pick. Not a wide receiver. More help along that offensive line. They get Elijah Vera Tucker from USC. Here's a guy. He was rated the best guard, according to Dane Brugler, our draft expert. He played left tackle at USC last year in 2020. But in 2019, he played guard at USC, and he was great. But he was also great at tackle, actually. And there's that flexibility that in a pinch, you know, and there's been plenty of times when we've seen Mekhi Becton get banged up. This is a guy who could actually slide over even in a pinch. There's some flexibility there. But he's a guy, and I think you tweeted it, Connor. I think Joe Douglas said it tonight. They had him as a top 10 guy. And that's when you move. That's why you have all the picks. You don't go into a draft with 10 picks thinking you're going to come out with 10 players. You're going in with the firepower to get the guys you want. It's exactly what the Jets do. They move up. They don't have all those picks anymore, but they get now what they think is two top 10 caliber players in this first round.
Yeah. And I think that we expected or thought it was pretty likely the Jets were going to move up. And it was in the recent weeks where I kind of started to get an inkling and start to hear some things that the Jets were looking to move up, and the Jets were potentially looking to go up and get a player if they liked. And that's why we did our beat writer mock draft recently at The Athletic, and I was controlling the Jets, and I traded up to go get Elijah Vera Tucker in that beat writer mock. And then I did
I didn't even give you credit for that. You nailed it.
Yeah, well, it's the last couple. This isn't hanging my own. I'm so not in the. we were obviously like it was kind of like I kind of got started hearing some things like he might be looking to trade up, which is why we did the trade. Now I just went from 23 to 20 with the Bears. I thought Vera Tucker starts to slide, Jets will jump some guys and go and get him. So I was like, all right, he's gonna go up and get, you know, maybe with the Bears. And then when I did a 7-round mock myself, I went up a little bit higher. I think I went to Washington or maybe a step before Washington. And then the very last draft or mock that I did, the one that ran 2 days ago, was the same thing. I traded up with Washington. Now, he gave up a chunk. I mean, that's not like little amount that Joe Douglas gave up. Giving up 2 third-round picks. I mean, when I was doing these trades and I was doing these mock trades, I had the Jets going up a few picks, packaging number 23 and a fourth rounder. One time I did 23 and one of their third rounders, it was number 86. So for them to go give up number 66 and number 86, both of those third round picks, obviously they did get back a high fourth rounder, but still to give up both of those third round picks to go up to get a player, it shows you how much Joe valued Vera Tucker. It showed you how much he believes in Vera Tucker and how highly the Jets viewed this guy and what kind of caliber player they believed him to be. And Joe said that as much when we talked to him after the first round ended. He said, look, this was a guy that we had a top 10 grade on. This was a guy that we believed was a top 10 player. So when we had an opportunity to not only get someone we believed was the number two quarterback in this year's draft, which the Jets did. Look, I mean, there's no playing around. Like, you know, when the Jets drafted Sam Darnold and it was, oh, Sam Darnold was the number one guy on our board. We couldn't believe it was no, like Trevor Lawrence was the number one guy on everyone's board, but Trevor Lawrence was never an option. So then Zach Wilson became the number one player on the Jets board. they had the opportunity to get him, number two quarterback, plus another top 10 talent. It was an opportunity that obviously they couldn't pass up. And there were some other offensive line needy teams that were going to be in the position for Vera Tucker. I mean, the way that the draft was starting to go, it was pretty clear that he was not going to be there at 23. If the Jets wanted him, they had to go up. They went pretty steep up and went all the way up to 14 to get him, and they gave up those two third round picks. Now, I talked to Joe about this after when we were doing that press conference, and he kind of alluded to it, and it was that you've heard a lot of people talk on Twitter, on social media, you've seen like the reports come out that general managers, talent evaluators, executives, they're not super, super high on this year's draft class. And the reason for it is you have a number of players that opted out, so you didn't get full evaluations of them. You didn't really have an NFL combine, didn't get full evaluations of that. You had weird pro days and that. Some players didn't play college games. Some players only played a few college games. I mean, it was a funky year because of the pandemic. So evaluations are not as strong this year, which is why this year's class is considered a little bit weaker than what other classes. In a normal year, next year, 2022, 2023, 2024, I don't think Joe packages two third-round picks to go up 23, to go up nine selections or 11 selections. I don't think he does that in past years. But because this year's picks aren't maybe as valuable as future picks, I think that's why you saw him willing to package two threes to go up, just because they're not as valuable as recent years. And Joe alluded to that when we talked to him, but still what he said is he said, yeah, there's some truth to that. Yes, there's some actual, yeah, that's true. You're right on the money there. However, we also viewed Elijah Vera Tucker as a top tier talent that we wanted on our offensive line. And look, he's a guy, like you said, Tim, has value, can play left guard and left tackle, can also play right guard and right tackle. He might even be able to slide inside to center a little bit if he decided to work at it. So you get a guy that can play multiple spots, but you get a guy that you love the talent, you love the player. And basically what the Jets have now done is they have a left tackle that they drafted in the first round, a left guard that they drafted in the first round. And if those two picks pan out, it sure looks like Becton's panning out. If Vera Tucker follows in the same footsteps, you're talking about the left side of the Jets offensive line now being solidified for the next 10 to 12 years. And they can continue now to round this out in the second round, in the fourth round, in the fifth round, with additional guard help. Center Wyatt Davis is out there. There's some players out. The Jets can really continue to make this a force up front. But Vera Tucker, Becton, that's a hell of a start for an offensive line that just a couple years ago was one of the worst in the league. And think about Joe Douglas. I mean, when he had his introductory press conference, what did he say? I want to build this thing. It starts on the offensive and defensive lines. Well, in his first two drafts, he's used two first round picks on offensive linemen. Before he arrived, the Jets hadn't used a first-round pick on an offensive lineman since they took Nick Mangold under Brickershaw Ferguson. So clearly, he's a man who does what he says. He practices what he preaches. And I think Vera Tucker is a tremendous, tremendous addition for this team.
Good thing. The good thing, I think, for Jets fans, right, is that you don't have to wait long on day two. It's number 34, and that's it, unless they trade back in with some of those other picks. But it could be a quick day of work for Joe Douglas and company. But there is a lot of talent still on the board, and a lot of players that, Connor, to be honest, there's plenty of players we talked about at number 23 as options for this team.
Yes,
that are still there at 34. So if they continued to build the O-line, you have Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State, Liam Eichenberger from Notre Dame. Those two guys are out there. Cornerback Asante Samuel Jr. is a guy we've talked about a lot on this podcast. Mm-hmm. He's still there. Edge rusher Azeez Ojulari, he's a guy that Dane Brugler had in his mock draft going at 23 to the Jets. And then there's receivers too. Elijah Moore was a borderline first round guy out of Ole Miss, then Terrace Marshall Jr. out of LSU. So all the positions we think this Jets team needs, there's really good possibilities on day two. What direction do you think they go in, though?
Yeah, it's actually absurd. So the Jets made their pick at 14. And then I obviously went into work mode. Like I had to, like, cause I had to write the story on Vera Tucker. And then I had to rework the column on Zach Wilson. Cause originally I had written this column on Zach Wilson that was like, Jets made the right decision. They drafted their quarterback, but holy cow, they're not done. They have to surround this guy with talent. And it was like almost like a more negative tone. Like it was like, all right, good. They drafted their quarterback, but now you need to put pieces around him or you're going to ruin him like he did Sam Darnold. And then Joe went and traded two third-round picks to go up to number 14 to get the top offensive guard in the NFL draft outside of maybe Rashawn Slater. And I was like, holy hell, like he's doing what he said he was supposed to do. Like this is big news. Like this is like a major move for this franchise, a sign they're headed in the right direction. So that column I spent all this time on, I kind of had to rework the lead, rework some of the transitions, still keep some nuts of it, but blah, 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 all this stuff. So I was like working all throughout from pick 14. I broke who the Patriots took. And then from the Patriots all the way down, I didn't see any of the draft because I had to write, like I said, the Veritucker story, write the column, and then get this targets for the Jets to draft tomorrow. I had to get that done and into like my editor and all that stuff. So I literally just went on like probably 15 minutes before this podcast started to see A, who else went, if there were any big juicy names or whatever. I saw Jason Owa, the Penn State pass rusher with the crazy 40 time. I saw he went, and then I brought up like the big board on NFL.com and Dane's big board to see who's still there. And I started going through these names and I was like, holy hell, like Ajulari, he's there. Landon Dickerson, he's there. Tevin Jenkins, that was a guy we were thinking about the Jets taking at 23. He's there. I mean, Elijah Moore, he's there. Like, it's Samuel Cosme, he's there. Like, there's an absurd number of players that are still available here for the Jets. And it's not like last year where there was like Michael Pittman, and then it was like kind of a big drop off for the receivers. There were like two players like, oh man, hopefully they get to the Jets. There is a significant number of, oh my, talent still there in the top of the second round, which makes me very curious the direction the Jets are going to go. And this is how I think it's going to go, because Joe traded those two third round picks, right? He still wants his draft picks. He still wants the picks where he can make a splash. He still wants to be able to have more swings than less, right? I mean, you have 10 at bats, you're more likely to get a hit or a home run than if you have three at bats or one at bat, unless you're the Mets, because then you're going to have zero home runs and you're not going to score a single run. So the rest of this draft, the way that I'm looking at it, it would not surprise me if the Jets take that second pick, that 34th overall selection, and they try to move back four or five spots,
right?
Get back a third round pick, get back another fourth round pick, or say trade 34 in one of their fours and get a high third round pick, something like that, just to get some higher level picks or some higher level talent that they can potentially get some swings. Because if you think about it, the Jets are picking 34, right? So if they stay there naturally, they're going to have an opportunity at Samuel. They're going to have an opportunity at Ajulari. They're going to have an opportunity at Dickerson. They're going to have an opportunity at Jenkins. I just rattled off four players, if my immediate mental math at 1:30 in the morning is still right. Like, I definitely named at least four. I think I did. If the Jets go back four spots, they will get an additional draft pick. And one of those guys is still going to be there, because that's math, and math's not wrong, right? So like, you have five guys you really like. You move back four spots and get an extra pick, there's still going to be one of those guys there. If they see six or seven guys they like, they can move back six or seven spots. One of those guys is still there. And obviously, look, the Jets have a ton of holes. They're definitely going to start to look at defensive guys, because they're not going to do Robert Saleh like that, where they never give him a defensive player. I mean, but there are so much talent and eye-popping talent that I did not expect to be there that still is, that it's like, holy cow. So in my opinion, I would probably hedge my bet towards the Jets are not going to pick a 34. They're going to move back five, six, seven spots. They're going to pick up an extra third round pick. They might get another fourth round pick. Maybe they'll package 3 and 5 and get an extra thirds, or 2 and 5 and get an extra three, something like that. But I think they're going to move back because of the number of players are still here. And the direction that I think they will go is pass rusher. I think that if they can somehow find a way to still come away with Ajulari, I think that pass rusher or cornerback, they're going to go defense is how I think it'll work. I think they're going to get Robert Saleh, one of his guys, they're either a corner or a pass rusher. I think that's what they're going to do in the second round. If it was up to me though, F the defense, go offense again. Like when I'm looking at this and I see, and I'm going through it, like when I see Landon Dickerson still there, that's a day one starter, period. When I see Tevin Jenkins there, he can play tackle or guard. That's a day one starter. I look at this and I see an opportunity for the Jets to build a wall in front of Zach Wilson. You want to make your quarterback's life easy? Give him 7 to 10 seconds to throw. And that's what I see an opportunity for this team to do. They love Mekhi Becton. They love Elijah Vera Tucker. They genuinely do believe in Connor McGovern and George Fant. They think those two guys are going to get significantly better in this blocking scheme. But if you add Landon Dickerson or Tevin Jenkins to the mix, you are now talking about an offensive line that is Mekhi Becton left tackle, Elijah Vera Tucker left guard, center Connor McGovern, right guard Tevin Jenkins or Landon Dickerson, right tackle George Fant. You then also have Cameron Clark, who's still a developing player, who obviously when we talk to some people, I mean, they spoke very highly of him. They think he got better. Another developing player in the mix to compete for playing time. That's a line. That's a front. And when you have a front five like that, a front five that can block like that, a front five that can protect your franchise quarterback investment like that, forget about keeping him healthy, something that the front did not do for Sam Darnold throughout his 3 years here. That's a front that can keep him healthy, keep him upright. The more time you give a quarterback to throw, the easier it is on the receivers. Because, again, with the way that the NFL rules are created, it's very hard to cover a receiver for anything longer than 3 seconds. Eventually, Denzel Mims is going to get open. Eventually, Corey Davis is going to get open. Eventually, Jamison Crowder, Chris Herndon, whoever the Jets have coming out of the backfield, those players are going to get open because of the offensive line. And I know that a pass rusher is big, and I know that'll help the Jets a lot. I know they need a cornerback. I know they need outside linebackers bad because you can't rely on Blake Cashman. Jared Davis is a middle linebacker. They're trying to play outside linebacker, and what the hell knows? Who the hell knows what you're going to get in C.J. Mosley? I know there are all those issues on defense, but again, you're not fixing this Jets roster in 1.5 off seasons. This is going to be a 2-3-4 year rebuild. The Jets are 1 year into it. After 2 years, they should be a good team. After 3 years, they should be in the playoffs. But I just see an opportunity to, with the way the first round went and the way that the players are still there, well, I know the Jets need linebacker. I know the Jets need corner. I know the Jets need pass rusher. In my head, I picture an offensive line that is potentially Philadelphia Eagles during their Super Bowl year good, Dallas Cowboys during their year good, New York Jets when they had Thomas Jones running for a billion yards, and earlier with the ground and pound with Rex Ryan. That's, I see that level good of what you can potentially create. And the other thing to think about is that if you're grabbing Jenkins or you're grabbing Dickerson in that second round, even if you don't trade back, even if you just take that player at 34, if you're taking them there, this is not like short-term investment. These are guys that Mekhi Becton's going to be your left tackle, injuries notwithstanding, for 10 to 12 years. Elijah Vera Tucker is going to be your left guard 10 to 12 years. Tevin Jenkins or Landon Dickerson, they're going to be, if everything goes your way, your center or left guard for 10 to 12 years. And that's where it's like, man, you're really, really building. Yeah, that's building it up front. That is building it up front. So while I think the Jets go defense, if it was up to me, I would go offense. And if you're giving me the choice between Dickerson or Jenkins, I would probably go Dickerson because, I mean, look, I'm not scouting these guys. I'm just going off of what Dane says. When you're talking about offensive guard center with Landon Dickerson, I think that'll help you out if Connor McGovern doesn't end up developing as you hope, because you can have Dickerson play guard and then move into center, very similar to Weston Richburg and what he did with the 49ers and the Giants. So that's where I would personally go. But I mean, the talent that's out here, it's top tier, Tim. I mean, this is I'm surprised to see some of the names on this list that I do. I really am.
Well, and I think when you think about the trading back just a few picks, I guess what it comes down to, right, is if you have, we mentioned all these names, if the Jets on their big board, they have ratings for all these guys. And if all those ratings are similar, boom, you move down. If you have one of these guys who's way ahead of everybody else and you want to make sure you get that guy, I guess maybe you hang in there at 34. But you're right. The pull for Joe Douglas, though, is going to be those extra picks, because that's what's going to fuel him, I think, is to get those extra picks. Because right now it's 34. Then nothing in the third round, then 107, 143, 146, 154. So it's bam, bam, bam. Then 186 and then 226 in round six. So that's what they have left as of now. So still plenty of stuff, but most of it late in the draft. And you have a chance to maybe have one more third pick. You certainly in the third round get a much more higher caliber player. I can't even speak anymore at 135. All right. The one other thing I wanted to get to was, this was, and I think I can bring this up to you, Connor, because you said you were hanging in there with the draft until they traded up to 14 and took it. But before that, there was some fun in the draft. Obviously, Trey Lance at 3, when the 49ers were trying to sell the world on the smokescreen of Mac Jones, but it kind of became clear it wasn't going to be that. Trey Lance at 3, but then the Bears made this draft fun, I think. And they certainly made our live stream for the Athletic Football Show fun.
Because, how'd that go, guys? How did that go?
It was great. 2.5 hours straight. But the beauty was we planned to go on at around 15 or 16, right? At 9:30.
Yeah.
But at 9:30, we were only up to 11. So we literally went live with the stream, Robert Mays and Nate Tice, for that Bears trade. And anybody that knows Robert Mays knows he's an enormous Bears fan. I think we almost had tears within the first 15 minutes of that stream from Robert.
I was happy.
The joy of Justin Fields. Yeah, he was over the moon. He was just thrilled. So, but that made it was the NFL draft is always fun. But I think the first like 15 picks with the Bears moving up and grabbing Fields, the Jets getting back up there and making that move, and then Mac Jones slides all the way to 15, and of course the Patriots are there waiting to get him. It was real fun that first half of the first round.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of why I was cracking up though, because I'm a reporter, man. Like I like so it's just your job to get information and share it. So like when I was getting some of the picks,
oh, you got killed on Twitter for these picks.
Yeah, I was cracking up. I was like, guys, just don't look at my Twitter account for like that. I mean, if I get it, I'm not just gonna sit on it. Like it's not gonna happen. If I get it, I'm gonna tweet it out. And like I had to stop because the Jets picked the guy, so I can't be like tweeting out the picks as they're happening. While I also have like obligations here that I have to write and stuff, so. Obviously that ended, but I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Like when I get all these picks tomorrow, which I will, I'm going to tweet them out like as many as I can. And then I'll probably stop around like once the Jets pick and I have to start writing and working, that's when I'll stop. But like, I was cracking up at that, like, stop spoiling it. Stop. I was like, you're choosing to look at my Twitter. Like, I'm not like knocking on your door and opening up and being like, Jets just picked Vera Tucker and then running away. Like that's not happening. Like I'm not Patriots picked Mac Jones and then running away. Like that's not happening. I'm like, you follow me and you see it. Like, just don't look at my Twitter during the draft if you don't want it to be spoiled. Like, but if I get the info, I'm going to break it. Like, why the hell would I? Like, my favorite thing is like, these are also all of the Jet fans that were like, you don't break news. You don't break enough news. Where's our broken news? Dude, here's all the broken news. And now it's like, don't break that news though. Like, okay, man. Like, oh, it's cracking. It was fun though. Like it was funny. Like, I was talking to the guy, one of the people I know within the league, and we were going through, and like the first two picks were like expected. It was Lawrence, Wilson. Lance was pretty much expected too. Like that was one I remember talking to somebody in the league. As soon as the 49ers traded up, I know people are like Mac Jones. I remember saying to somebody works in Seattle, and I was like, I think it's for Lance. I was like, because if they're saying they're keeping Jimmy, like Mac Jones is like you want to start him pretty early. I was like, Lance is the guy that you sit and learn. And I was like, if they want to stick with Jimmy, well, Lance makes sense. And so it was like that went, and then Pitts. And then I think it was like the wrench in the system went when J.C. Horn went for before Patrick Surtain. That made it get funky. Then when the Eagles traded with the Cowboys.
The Broncos being the team that took Surtain because all sorts of issues there, and that didn't exactly fix any of their issues.
Correct. Yeah, right. Yeah, really. And then it was like, I remember when I got the text from the guy, he goes, hey, because he'll tell me as soon as something happens. So he goes, Eagles traded with Cowboys. And I texted him back. I was like, no, that's not right. And he goes, Eagles traded with Cowboys. And I was like, all right. And then I realized, okay, the Eagles traded with the Cowboys to jump the Giants for Devontae Smith. And then the Giants trade back. And then honestly, when that came in too, when I was looking and I saw when he told me what the Cowboys or what the Giants got from the Bears, that's a haul. Like, I rip Dave Gettleman more than anyone. I think that guy is McKagnon level incompetence, just with a couple diamond in the rough free agent signings. I mean, he's basically got a contract extension because he almost won a division with five wins. Like, that just, like, the Giants were dog poo last year. And Dave Gettleman was a big reason why. The team won five games, right? Weren't they 5-11? Maybe they were going to be 6-10. And they were like, oh no, Dave Gett, we're close. The only reason you're like, the Jets could have been 6-10 and they're still like fourth place. And we're like, what? I just think he's awful. But the fact that Gabe Gettleman was able to get that, that's brilliant, man. They went back to 20. The Giants still get a receiver at 20. Then they get the first round pick next year. Whether it's Andy Dalton or Justin Fields under center for the Bears are not going to be a good football team next year. So that you're probably talking about a top 10 pick. So the Giants get a top 10 pick for, like, it's amazing. Dave Gettleman falls like ass backwards into competence when it's just like when he doesn't deserve to. It makes me angry because, you know, it drives me nuts because he's not making that trade unless the Eagles jump the Giants for Devontae Smith. And then all of a sudden he pulls that. It's going to be a top 10 pick. Like, it's going to be a top 10 pick from the Bears because the Bears are not going to be good with Justin Fields next year. It's amazing. But that's the draft, man. That's the wild part of the draft. Did anything like really funky? I got to actually look. I see who's still available, but I need to see who went where after the Jets in 14. Did anything happen weird aside from Mac Jones to the Patriots? Like anything kind of jump
really
out?
Crazy. There was just those picks late in the first round where instead of the guys that you kind of thought would go, that was maybe the next guy at that position went instead.
Gotcha. Okay.
Kind of some of that stuff. But yeah, it was Gettleman. It's the first time he's ever traded back, right? In his entire career as a general manager.
Yeah.
And he nails it. And he actually said he said, I just couldn't pass it up. Well, no, because
you should I fucking hope so. I mean, yeah. It's absurd. Yeah. Man. That was nuts. That was fun though. That was fun. I was a good, it was an entertaining first draft or first round of the draft. I think tomorrow's gonna be really entertaining too, because I think there's so much talent still out there that it's like, I'm kind of curious what's gonna happen. And I don't know, we'll see. I'll tell you what, Jets certainly made my day tomorrow a lot easier if they really only picked that second round, but I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't think they will trade back up. Like, I don't think you're gonna see them package the fourth rounders to go into the third. I don't think that's gonna happen. I think you'll see them trade back from 34 to recoup some extra stuff, like maybe go back five or six spots. I wouldn't, like I said, in my opinion, screw it, take another lineman, take Jenkins or take Humphrey and make that next step. That's what I would do. But I think what Joe Douglas is going to do is trade back five or six spots, get a third round pick. You'll have the Jets pick somewhere in second round and then in the third round, and then we'll go from there.
All right. We will see.
We'll be back, right? We're going to another podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to be back. We're going to be earlier, I think. Now, there's a question. The first round takes forever. What time will tomorrow, anybody in the chat want to jump in from memory of years past? When does round?
Well, it starts at 7, right?
Right. Yeah, it starts at 7.
Starts earlier, goes quicker. Because the picks. It goes, shorter picks, second round. So I think we'll be done. From what I remember from working it, is that I'm usually done earlier by like an hour. And especially if the Jets, this tonight was weird because it was like, you had the two first round picks, which doesn't usually happen. You have to spend more time on it, plus a column because you drafted a quarterback, plus this big one. So it was just a lot of work, which is why we didn't go on to one. And then I had to rework the column. So if Joe really wanted to make my life easier, he should have just taken the corner, because if he took a corner or a pass rusher at 23, it was like literally hit publish and the column was ready to go. It was when he didn't do that, that it was like, God damn it. So that kind of sucked. But it'll be faster, easier. I think we'll probably be on. I mean, I don't know if we'll be on before. It might be on like 11 or 12, but I we're not going to be on at 1. We'll be done well before that. Knock wood.
For 11. All right.
Yeah. Me too, man. And sleep.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody. And I know there's still a lot of people watching right now. We really appreciate
you guys are crazy, by the way. Go to sleep. Yeah.
But we.
I didn't expect this. I saw we peaked at like 700, right? Didn't we? Yeah. Like 700 live viewers. You guys are nuts. We love you. I love you. But you're nuts.
Cheer for the fans. That's why we do it, though. We love being here live with the people watching as well. So we'll be back at it tomorrow again to check and see what they do on round two. Maybe it's pick number 34. Maybe it's later in the 30s with another third round pick. I can't even talk anymore. Third round pick thrown in. But either way, we'll be back with you. If you want to subscribe to The Athletic, you can go to theathletic.com/can't wait. And I believe, Connor, you may know this. There's a draft deal, I think, for a dollar right now.
Oh, $1 I should know that. Dollar deals back? Wish I knew that.
I think just for the draft. So get into that, theathletic.com/can't wait. And we will talk to you again soon. Thanks for staying up with us.